Truth and Transcendence. Brought to you by Yes, You Now, with Catherine Llewellyn. Truth and Transcendence, Episode 21. How do leaders bring back pragmatism without losing compassion? So this is a great question that somebody sent in. This is a leader who, during the last couple of years, has really been playing to their strengths, which is compassionate leadership, in response to the fact that their people really needed that, because their people were having difficulties and were distressed, frightened, and all kinds of emotional fragilities and vulnerabilities were in play. So this person happens to be very good at compassionate leadership, and therefore they were in their element during that period, and it was exactly what the organization needed and exactly what their people needed. So their question that they sent in to me was, okay, now the organization needs to regroup, and now we need to refocus on being a bit more pragmatic. How do I and how do my colleagues as leaders bring back pragmatism without losing the compassionate leadership that we've been practicing over this past couple of years? Now, my guess is that this question is being asked all over the world at the moment, where people are saying to themselves, right, we've really emphasized kindness, consideration, empathy, tuning into the needs of our people over this last couple of years. We're really glad we did that, both for the sake of our people, who we genuinely care about, and also for the sake of the organization, which may not have survived otherwise. So that's great. But now we're emerging into a slightly different situation, a situation where our markets have shifted, competition is different, there are surprises around the corner, there are all kinds of legislations that are now being put in place, which can affect our ability to do business, and that will affect our ability to be compassionate towards our people. So we have to bring in some pragmatism. So how are we going to do that? So once again, this is one of those questions where there is no short answer that will work for everybody and for every organization. And the reason for that is pragmatism as a notion or as a description or an emphasis, in order for it to have any value, it needs to be related to something specific. So it's no good as a leader just being more pragmatic. Because if you're just being more pragmatic, what you're doing is you're encouraging people to be more outcome-focused or more result-focused or more action-focused or more realism-focused or more materially focused. But unless you have some sort of direction woven in with that, all that your pragmatism will do is to generate a potentially shift in behaviour or a shift in emphasis that's not related to any outcomes or deliverables. And I think we've all seen this at times as we've gone through life. Times where someone has got into their head the idea that being more pragmatic is a good idea. And then without doing any further inquiry or any further consideration, they've simply launched into trying to be a more pragmatic leader. And all they've done is confuse people, upset people, and create disruption and fragmentation. Whereas if, alternatively, when people get hold of this idea that pragmatism, some more pragmatism may be required, if at that point, before they start taking action, they pause and ask themselves, right, Why is it that we need more pragmatism now? Where is the call for more pragmatism coming from? Is it coming from the fact that we're not hitting our bottom line and therefore we need to get a bit more serious? Is it coming from the fact that we feel a loss of direction, we're not quite sure where we're heading? Or is it possibly coming from our people? Do they need a more pragmatic emphasis now? Do they need more of a connection with practicality, action, and results? Those are just three examples of possible sources for the need for pragmatism. And I think we can see quite easily that each of those three sources, which are, again, there are many, many other possibilities, but let's say it's one of those three, each of those three indicates a completely different response. So let's say the issue is we're not hitting our bottom line and not making our profit contribution that we want to be making. We already know the levers to go and examine in order to identify why that's not taking place. We already know that until we've investigated that, there's no point talking to our people and trying to get them to behave any differently. Because what we actually need to do is identify what is it we need to be changing in the organisation in order to hit the bottom line. Now, let's say you are the chairman of your organisation. Let's say it's a multinational organisation. You have a top level executive board, and then within each national locality, there's another local board there as well. So you've got layers below you. Of course, it's perfectly reasonable for you to talk to your board and say, we're not hitting the bottom line. They already know that, of course, and to invite them to get more pragmatic in relationship to that. Now, as a chairman, that may be all that you need to do. And it could be that they're the ones who then have to solve the problem of what kind of changes do we need to make that we need to be pragmatic about. And in some cases, perhaps if you're the CEO, that's the case. But anywhere down line from that, it really is up to you to be examining what kind of manifestation of pragmatism are we looking for here? How can we get specific? For example, if it's not that first one of not reaching the bottom line, what about if it's that second one of feeling a disconnection from our direction? We're not quite sure where we're going. Perhaps we knew where we were going in 2019, but now we're not so sure. Now that's a slightly different emphasis, and depending on the nature of your organisation, if it's a very small organisation, the question is answered in rather a different way from if you're a much larger, more established organisation with a more complex dynamic. But I think it's pretty clear that a pragmatic response to that question is different from a pragmatic response to that first issue of not hitting the bottom line. And then if your source of requirement for pragmatism is that third example that I offered, which is that your people actually need more pragmatism now, that's another emphasis again, requiring yet a different type of response, which again will vary according to the type of organisation that you have, the type of leadership structure, the type of culture, and the nature of your people. Now that in and of itself is quite a complex, interesting and nuanced inquiry, which is, where is our need for more pragmatism coming from? What's driving that requirement? And by putting that wedge in place in between the moment of realising that more pragmatism is required and the moment of starting to take action around that, by putting that wedge in place and by taking that time and space to inquire and reflect and investigate, you are immediately putting yourself into a place of strategic advantage as a leader or as a leadership team. Because what you're doing is you're homing in on the key levers that you want to be pulling. Rather like if you look at a mixing desk in a recording studio, which has I don't know how many different sliding, I don't know what they're called, those things that slide up and down to change the volume of different aspects of a track that's being mixed. You don't just want to go in and put all of those up to top volume all at the same time. If you do that, you'll create overload. Just as with your people and in your organisation, if you go running in just telling everybody to be more pragmatic and trying to be more pragmatic with no direction, what you're doing is creating overload. So then once you've bottomed that out and you've clarified where that drive is coming from, another thing that I highly recommend looking into in relation to this question is this question of compassionate leadership. So if you feel in your organisation that compassionate leadership has been very strongly exercised and practiced over this last couple of years, it's great to examine that and say, right, how have we done that? What are the actual practical ways we've done that? What are the slightly less tangible ways that we've done that? What is it that's really worked well? What has worked less well? What have we learnt? Where have we become very good about that? Where are the instances where we were not quite as good at it as we'd like to be? Perhaps not as sensitive, perhaps not as intuitive. And from that, we managed to create a map of the nature and the quality and the character of our compassionate leadership. And we can then look and see within that, just like on the mixing desk analogy, which are the levers that we pulled most effectively and that most resonated with our people in terms of compassionate leadership? And which are the ones we want to carry forward and weave in with our new emphasis on pragmatic leadership and create something which is a seamless whole? So again, we're taking the time to reflect and consider and analyse and inquire before we rush off trying to make sure we're still being compassionate. Because again, this is something I've mentioned in some of the other episodes, it's so easy to fall into the trap of appearing compassionate without actually being compassionate. And sometimes, actually, being pragmatic is the most compassionate thing we can do. We all know that children need loving acceptance, unconditional love, and they need structure and discipline. Adults are exactly the same. So if you're feeling a pull from your people for some more pragmatism, which wouldn't surprise me if that's the case, you know, they're looking, people are looking at the moment for something to hang on to, senses of security, some sense of structure, some sense of certainty. Pragmatism delivers that. Compassion does not necessarily deliver that, unless it is compassionate pragmatism. So really we're coming to a place where we're starting by looking quite divergent at pragmatism and compassionate leadership, and we're homing in on a distillation of what works best in relation to those two things for your organisation at this time and in response to the actual needs of the moment. And we're distilling that and synthesizing it and integrating it to come up with what we think are the best levers for moving forward. So everything I've said up till now is really all about preparation for bringing back pragmatic leadership whilst retaining compassionate leadership simultaneously. And I think it's important at this point to just think about timescales. When we realise we need more pragmatism in our leadership, usually there's some sort of urgency connected to that. So it's very important to also consider what are the urgencies at the moment, how real are those urgencies, and what really are the timescales that we're working with. My guess is that you want to be hitting the ground running with whatever changes you want to make within a month to 3 months, would be my guess, in most cases. Less than a month suggests to me that you may have not have had enough time to really reflect on these aspects we've been talking about the direction of the pragmatic emphasis that you want to bring in, and about the depth and the strategic usefulness, if you like, and validity of the compassionate leadership that you've already been exercising and practicing. So probably a month to 3 months is your time scale for preparing to bring in more pragmatic leadership in combination with compassionate leadership. But then once you've done that inquiry and that consideration, and it's unlikely that you'll be doing this completely on your own, it's more likely that you're going to be doing this with colleagues. Whether it's your board or whether it's a few of your colleagues on the board, or actually whether you are spreading it wider than your own organization and doing this with your peers in other organizations. Now, this is a really interesting and useful thing to do. Again, suppose you're a non-exec chair and you're the only person at that hierarchical level in your organization. You may be part of a peer group of other non-exec chairs who like to get together and actually pick each other's brains and consider and reflect and analyze this sort of thing and discuss it. In which case, you might want to do that before you start kicking off a process of inquiry and reflection in your own board, if you have that possibility to do that. It's a great thing to do. But then once you've done that, what happens next? Well, this is where you start to try things out and to experiment and really stay in very close touch with your colleagues, checking in with each other. Because the risk here is that you accidentally switch back into a historical mode of leadership, which was appropriate prior to the last couple of years, but isn't appropriate now. Because what's appropriate now is probably something a bit different from anything you've ever done before. Now, what that means is, a bit like the person who goes and starts training in a new topic, a mature student studying in a new topic, and they have to start on lesson one. It can be incredibly frustrating. In some ways, you're starting on lesson one, not because you're any less intelligent or bright or wise or experienced than you were before, but because the situation is new and fresh. Some of the things that have occurred over the last couple of years have been absolutely unprecedented. They've never happened before. And your organization will have been affected in ways it has never been affected before, as have your people. So therefore, the leadership that's required is going to be something absolutely new. So coming to grips with that and accepting that can be incredibly frustrating and annoying and difficult. And it could be that the last thing you want to do is get together with your colleagues on a regular basis and discuss how you're getting on with your leadership approach. It could be you just don't want to do that. You just want to get on with it, do your best, and go home. But I would say to you, if you can get yourself to do that, please do. Because everyone else is in the same boat as you are. Everybody. And there is a certain comfort in sitting in a circle with other people and letting each other know how frustrating it is to have to break in a whole brand new leadership style. And guaranteed everyone else feels the same way. There is a certain comfort in that and a certain encouragement that you're not the only person who's experiencing the stickiness and the difficulty. Now, in your case, I may be absolutely wrong about that. You might take to this like a duck to water. You may naturally evolve an absolutely perfect fitting leadership approach for this new phase that incorporates pragmatism and compassion naturally already, in which case, absolutely fantastic, and in which case, even more, I recommend for you to get together with colleagues and share with them what you're learning and what you're experiencing. Because that is gold for them, absolute gold. So yes, this is a really interesting, important question and a really important topic. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot about this in social media over the next few months. In fact, I've already seen a few postings and articles from people talking about this importance of incorporating the pragmatic and the compassionate together in an integrated fashion, in such a way that the organisation is resilient and sustainable and ethical and profitable. And the people are motivated, supported, understood, encouraged, directed, held accountable, and leadership are feeling fulfilled and satisfied that they are performing a vital role in relationship to the emergence of the organisation in these new times. So thank you very much to the person who sent in this question. Fantastic question. And I've really enjoyed reflecting on it and exploring it. And I feel like it's the sort of question which could be explored in many different ways. As you've been listening to this, you may have been following my train of thought and actually finding it resonates for you. Or you may have been following this and thinking, actually, no, I wouldn't explore this question in that way. I would explore it in another way, such as what, you know, whatever it is that emerges for you. Brilliant. I think there's so many ways to respond to this particular question. And whatever ways you have, perhaps listening to me has in some way helped trigger you coming up with your own responses to the question. And my comment on that is your responses to the question are always and always going to be far more useful than my responses to the question, because you know your organization, you know yourself, you know your team, you know the culture, you know the requirement. So if by listening to me that has assisted you to come up with your own response to the question, whether it's similar to mine or completely different is irrelevant, then that is the result I would hope for. And if listening to this, you found the response I've given resonates for you and fits for you, fantastic. All that means is that for some reason, coincidentally, it happens to have paralleled your own particular way of thinking. So really all I'm saying in a long-winded way is follow your own truth, follow your own style in relation to this question, and follow your own intuition in regard to that. Don't take action until you know you're prepared. Don't plan action until you know you've done your inquiry. Don't do your inquiry until you know what your question is. And once you take action, monitor yourself, observe. Share with colleagues, convene, liaise, discuss, and good luck. I'm going to mention again my most recent ebook, Autonomy in Relationship, The Human Side of Being a Non-Exec Chairman. And a lot of the principles I've been talking about today show up in this particular ebook. Although it's about non-exec chairman, and the human side of that role, an awful lot of what's contained within this ebook is relevant to leaders at all levels of organisations, particularly at board level, whether they're executive or non-exec. And there are useful pieces of wisdom in there for any of us to consider and take on board and reflect on. So if you'd like to look into that, if you're curious about that, you can go to yesyounow.today/chairman. That's yesyounow.today/chairman, C-H-A-I-R-M-A-N. So thank you for listening. enjoy the ebook, enjoy your inquiries and your reflections and your leadership, and I'll see you next week. You've been listening to Truth and Transcendence, the regular weekly podcast from Yes, You Now with Catherine Llewellyn. For more information, head to yesyounow.today/podcast.